Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio Network, you're listening to AFR. And go to AFR.net for our website, AFR.net, or download our app, AFR app, on your smartphone or your iPad or whatever you have, and you can listen to us anywhere you want to in the world as long as you have internet service. AFR app. I mean, it's tens of thousands of people listen every day on the AFR app. It doesn't matter where they, whether they have a access to one of our radio stations with a tower or not. Again, thanks for listening. Our email is comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. Now, if you're going to take time to email us, it needs to be a K-Love email. I've mentioned this before. You might say, Tim, what is a K-Love email? K-Love is a Christian radio network that plays music, mm-hmm. and they do a great job with that. But they always mention that they are K-Love, and they're positive and encouraging. And so I've adopted the phrase, a K-Love email. So if you're going to take time to send us an email, don't bring us down, okay? Bruce, don't bring us down. Just send it and make it positive and encouraging. Now,
that's not a lot to ask.
It's not. Well, now, there is such thing as constructive criticism.
Yes.
Right.
I also don't like.
I don't like it. That's what I'm saying. We don't even want any constructive criticism.
I'm kidding, folks.
You send it to you. I don't want it. I don't need any constructive criticism because you know what? The word criticism's still in there. All right, and I got to go to lunch, and I don't want to feel bad because somebody said I don't know how to pronounce a word or something. Mm-hmm. We're trying our best, people. We're trying our dead level best, aren't we, Ed?
We are, and people don't understand when you're on live radio.
Yeah,
you turn to me and you say, "Well, what do you think about this?"
Yeah,
I got to come up with an answer,
right?
And my brain My brain doesn't always work, and like you said, sometimes I say the word wrong or pronounce a name wrong, and it's just the way.
If people are going to send us a email, Wesley, that's critical, mm-hmm. I want them to tell me what they do for a living, and then I will criticize their work.
I thought you were going to give them Walker's email.
Even though I don't even know them.
You're going to give them Walker's email?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, we can do that. That's give them your brother's email. Let him deal with it.
That's right.
Pray for us. We do try to do our best to provide good programming here each and every day. And we do take our charge seriously because we are we're trying to glorify God and His Son Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do.
Yeah, and we try to let people know the best we can of what's going on around us and around in other states and across the country, because we know that a lot of our listeners are truck drivers or school teachers or moms. They have a full schedule every day.
Yeah,
they've got plenty of things that are their responsibilities.
Right.
So we try to give them a synopsis.
That's right.
Well, and let me just say this one thing too. And we're half joking about some of this, folks.
Right.
We're pretty thick skinned, but you know, like when your pastor tells you, encourages you to witness to people during the week and says, look, you don't have to do it perfectly. Well, we can't do it perfectly. So just keep that in mind. We're like you, and we make mistakes at times. And it doesn't make us a bad person, Tim.
I'm with you, Ed.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. And Chris Woodward, how you doing, Chris?
I'm well. If I may add something to the K-Love email,
Chris.
Do not begin your email to the news service with, I love you guys, but, because that generally doesn't end in a positive and encouraging email. And don't sign off a rant with blessings. Because that also happens.
That's, you know what, that's sarcastic, and we pick up on it.
Yeah, that's actually happened, though.
Okay.
You're fooling no one.
Actually happened. Blessings.
Okay, blessings. If you're a loyal listener, the faithful listeners, you want to say something that you may want to say something that we may disagree with, or you may have disagreed with that you feel strongly enough about to write it. We will read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll, quote, take it under advisement, end quote.
Yes, we will. We'll take it under advisement.
We'll take it under advisement. File 13. All right. So, Chris, what's your first story for us today?
All right. So, Vice President J.D. Vance did a sit-down interview with Jesse Waters on Fox, and they talked about a
number of things. Have you ever heard of a stand-up interview?
I have not.
Okay.
Nor have I heard an open-door meeting. Yes.
So, it was a sit-down interview.
Yes. He did a sit-down interview.
Okay.
The door may or may not have been open.
Okay.
And he talked about a number of things, many of them political topics, and they got into the subject of New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani, the Democratic Socialist, of course, recently took office and is now officially the mayor of New York City, where he promised a number of, quote, free things, and his housing or tenant director has made news in recent days because viral comments from her talked about how we're going to take away property rights and you don't really own what you say you own, those kinds of things.
Her name is Sia Weaver.
Sia Weaver, yes, sir. So Vance said, you know what, I don't agree with everything he has to say, but I do like that he's brought up various things about affordability. Clip 14.
I actually really admired some of his messaging because he focused not on the woke crazy stuff. He wasn't running on white people shouldn't own property. He was running on bread and butter issues, which is what I want politicians to focus on. Even if you disagree with their solutions, I would love it if the debate among Democrats and Republicans was, how do we deliver prosperity to the American people? But he runs on actually some pretty common sense bread and butter issues. He gets in there and he sounds like a total crazy person who wants to take your house away because you have the wrong skin color. That's not a threat to me politically. I think it's a threat to our country, but it's not a threat politically.
I think that's kind of an interesting comment because if you'll remember, Mamdani, before he took the oath of office, he went to the White House and met with the president after the election. And even President Trump said, quote, I hope he's successful. So it's just kind of weird. I would imagine a political strategist for some Democrat in this midterm election is going to splice those little comments together and make it look like Trump and Vance are praising this guy or his policies that other people are running on.
Yeah, I disagree with Vice President Vance on the first part. I don't think...
You're not very positive and encouraging.
Not today.
For VP Vance.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to hear this.
Right. But blessings. Blessings upon you. Okay, I don't think that the Mamdani campaign...
bread and butter issues.
Yeah, he did mention things like affordability and bread and butter issues, but he was very clear that he is running as a communist and a socialist.
Unapologetically.
Right.
Yeah, unapologetically. So I understand what Vice President Vance was saying. I think that issue, those kinds of issues are what's going to drive the next election and probably election cycles over the next 4 or 5 years because of the economic issues we have. But this guy is a sold-out commie, Mamdani, and he is putting on his team. This Sia Weaver has said some abhorrent things.
And what's her job in the administration there?
She's the tenant director. She oversees rent.
Oh, okay.
She's called for the seizure of private property and that the people who own homes are going to have to start thinking differently about private property, that we're going to have to stop thinking about it in terms of personal benefit, but now collective benefit, especially if you're white. Okay, this guy Mamdani is a sold-out radical, and I don't think if he continues to do what he's doing and starts destroying New York City, I think you're going to have a lot more clips from the vice president and President Trump that sound a whole lot more critical.
I think that the property owner thing is really going to cause problems for the Mamdani administration politically, and I say that because I guarantee you, without talking to anybody, I guarantee you that there is some union member out there who worked really hard and saved and moved his family out of a tiny little apartment into like a home in Queens, and all of a sudden you're being told you don't really own that. That's just nuts.
Or you shouldn't own it.
Right.
Because you're white and you're an oppressor.
Yes.
A lot of what they're talking about is not going to work because it's as I said earlier the other day, it's going to run into constitutional law. Mm-hmm. And but they'll try, I guess. They'll try to impose, you know, government-run grocery stores and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Does that mean they're going to shut down or be competitive with private grocery stores?
Well, I think the problem with – and this is the problem with socialism. They start with government-run grocery stores, and because those are underwritten by the government – privately owned grocery
go
stores
out of business.
Are not going to be able to compete.
Right. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Enough New York Zohran talk.
Yeah. Well, let me mention this.
Stay on him.
Well, it's the second interesting comment from the Trump Vance administration this week. The President Donald Trump is still getting a lot of pushback for his remark earlier this week to members of the House, Republicans, that they need to be, quote, flexible on abortion. Here again is a bit of audio. I think we might have done this yesterday, but for people that might have missed that show or they're not aware of what I'm talking about, Trump wants Republicans to be flexible on things like the Hyde Amendment, which is a legislative provision that has to be in bills to prevent the federal funding of abortion. Trump wants them to be flexible on issues like Hyde as they try to negotiate some sort of new health care law or bill. And so you're going to hear a little bit from the president, along with heated reaction from Students for Life and National Right to Life. Clip 15.
You have to be a little flexible on Hyde. You know that. You got to be a little flexible. You got to work something. You got to use ingenuity. You got to work.
President Trump is mistaken if he believes that the pro-life movement's going to be like, oh, sure, yeah, don't apply Hyde to Obamacare reform. No, absolutely not. Non-starter. Any health care bill that is passed out of Congress that does not have Hyde attached to it is a pro-abortion vote.
People should be contacting their members of Congress, telling them, encouraging them to stand firm that our tax dollars are not to be used to pay for abortion.
Now, I don't have this audio, but I can tell you right now that Oklahoma Senator James Lankford is a no on being flexible because he said as much yesterday on Washington.
Let me tell folks again, I know people think you sound like you're talking to kindergartners. Well, sometimes people don't understand. When you talk about something like the Hyde Amendment, unless you go back and understand the history of it, you don't understand the context of what we're talking about here, okay? So I'll just lay it out simply. The Henry Hyde was a U.S. congressman from Illinois back in the 70s and 80s and 90s. He was very well known as one of the pro-life leaders. He was a Republican. Mm-hmm. He was from Illinois in the Congress. So there was something called the Hyde Amendment, which Democrats at that time and Republicans agreed on, and that is that no United States federal tax dollars can go to any entity that does abortions. Okay,
right.
I've got it right. Mm-hmm. And this was agreed upon by Democrats and Republicans. Okay, it was named after the congressman, mm-hmm. the Hyde Amendment. So no tax dollars can go to organizations that promote abortion.
You're right. Okay. Federal tax dollars cannot be used.
So that's been the law of the land forever. Mm-hmm. Since that time. So now. The Trump administration is trying to negotiate with the Congress Obamacare restrictions or something like that. Mm. I don't know why Trump's bringing this up. Why is he bringing it up?
Well, because there's been this heated debate. Remember, Democrats shut down the government because they wanted more assurances on subsidies and things like that with Obamacare. Trump wants to make changes to Obamacare. And basically, we're looking at a situation where they're going to negotiate a new health care law.
Okay, that's why he's talking about it.
Yes.
Okay, I'll just say this. Trump's dead wrong on this, okay? He's just dead wrong on it, and he should not... He should not be pushing for this at all. That is some kind of a end to the Hyde Amendment in the name of something else that he wants to accomplish. Okay, we on balance, President Trump, I'm with him on 80-90% of what he does and stands for and says. And I think when you're talking about political leaders, you're not going to agree with them 100% on everything, right? I mean, you just don't. You don't. Does anybody agree with 100% of anything?
I don't even agree with myself 100% of the time.
There you go. Well, that's what I'm talking about. So on this issue, President Trump needs to not talk about it anymore and not push for it. That is the ending somehow of the Hyde Amendment. So President Trump is a transactional politician.
All of them are, but go ahead.
He was a transactional. That's the world he grew up in. Okay, he's a businessman from New York. He spent his whole life cutting deals. When you cut deals with people, you get some, they get some. And you're willing to negotiate what that looks like on all kinds of deals. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So when you translate that to politics, yes, sometimes that does work, and it you do have to trade off things to get what you want with the other side, because the other side wants something too, and you're not going to be able to accomplish what you want to if you don't trade some things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, so, but there are such things as absolute principles,
yep,
that don't need to be surrendered or negotiated because the issue is so important.
That's right.
And human life and abortion, not having the federal, my tax dollars go to somebody that's going to do abortions, is worth standing up for. So I would just say, I hope President Trump gets the message that these pro-life leaders communicated that we heard right there, and he will heed that advice. In many respects, President Trump has been the most pro-life president we've ever had.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. So he's done a lot of great things for the pro-life movement, and I want to give him credit for that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I will also too. Some of this, oftentimes when you hear something like this, he gets quote updated or educated down the road, and I would be surprised if he didn't come back and have a different tone, because there's already exceptions in the Hyde Amendment. There's already been we've already conceded a little bit of ground, because apparently the funding is it the Hyde Amendment. The exceptions to it are those that are pregnancies that result in rape or incest or life of the mother. So there's already, this is basically, the Hyde Amendment basically keeps people from murdering their baby out of convenience. You know what I mean? Yep. So I think once he finds out.
By the way, did you guys see this story where there have been polls done about President Trump by the public mm-hmm. polls? And they have shown, you can pull this story up if you want to and get where it documented, but the polls are that he is faring better at this stage in his presidency than George Bush or Barack Obama were at the same time in their presidency.
In their second term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, would you ever think that, given how the media bashes Trump all the time?
If the media was not on a mission to torpedo everything President Trump says or does, he probably would be even higher.
He'd be king.
In popularity. Yeah. Yeah.
look, he'd be king. And he wouldn't mind that.
No, I'm joking.
Pull that survey up, because can somebody pull that up?
Yeah, you text us a couple days ago.
Do search for a Trump poll.
Oh, I got it here. Thanks, Brent.
Versus Bush and Bo Obama.
Let it go, Brent. Yeah, the headline, it's a Newsweek story, and I'll share it on our Facebook page. Donald Trump's approval rating ahead of George W. Bush's and Barack Obama's, which is what Tim just said. President Trump's approval rating is higher than that of 43rd President Bush and 44th President Obama when compared to the same period during each leader's second term. This is according to a new poll from, wait for it, Real Clear Polling, which is a reputable source that news outlets across the board use.
Newsweek is citing them.
Yeah.
They're certainly
credible.
Credible.
And he's got a wonderful team, and unless China gets involved with another COVID, then he should end up being, I say that because he was also, if we go back way back, he was crushing it his first year.
Oh yeah,
until COVID, about 11
his first
months.
Term.
Yes. His first term, he was crushing it
until
about
COVID hit. Yeah, that's true.
So he's obviously really good at being a president.
Yeah,
yeah. They obviously were proven incorrect, but I remember going into 2020, there were a lot of people on television or radio shows, podcasts, what have you, that were predicting the 2020 election at that time, pre-COVID, would have mirrored the results of 1984 when Reagan took Mondale.
COVID not hit, Trump would have won.
Yeah.
Right. I know people are going to say, well, he did win. Well, I'm talking about, he would have won overcoming.
Without the shenanigans because you had the COVID restrictions. Yeah.
All right, you're listening to today's issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Wesley, and Ed, and Chris. Chris, what's your next story? We got about 5 minutes left here.
I want to mention this because it's a popular game show, even in the absence of its original host.
Popular game show? What is that, Chris?
Yes, Jeopardy. It's in the news because its new host, Ken Jennings, the guy that replaced Alex Trebek.
Uh-huh.
There's a story from Fox out today, and they're one of several news outlets reporting this. But apparently, Ken Jennings says the 2028 presidential candidate who vows to prosecute President Trump will have his vote. I'm curious as to whether or not
that's a way to keep your fans.
Right. Yeah. What is a dumb thing to say for $1,000, Alex? So, here's my question. You're not in politics. You're a game show host.
Right.
Like, is that the platform to really do something like that?
I'm surprised that these companies that own businesses that need to stay neutral, need the face of their organization to stay neutral, don't impose that kind of thing, because you can't. I saw where Conan O'Brien, the comedian, late night talk show host, he was saying yesterday that basically that these comedians get obsessed with Trump, they're ruining themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he says they just need to stick with being funny.
Right.
That doesn't mean you can't talk about politics or make fun of the president here and there, but just this constant obsession, like Jimmy Kimmel has or Stephen Colbert, it just ruins comedy, he said. And also just it causes you to lose half your audience out there that you would otherwise have. So about
automatically, half your audience becomes unhappy with you.
Yeah.
I don't watch Jeopardy because it comes on when hockey's on. Okay. But if I did watch it, I would stop watching it because of that.
Yeah.
I would just stop watching it.
It's a stupid comment.
Is that what you want to do? You want to drive away your audience?
Yeah. Well, there's that age-old comment that may or may not have been attributed to Michael Jordan, where Republicans buy sneakers, too. There's just some stuff you don't do from a business perspective.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of people didn't follow Jordan's advice.
Yeah, listen, I'm not saying celebrities don't have a right to speak out on issues. They're Americans, and they have views and feelings, too. But I'm just saying, if you are employed by a company... If I were the CEO of Jeopardy, whoever that is, I would have it stipulated you don't talk about politics.
Right.
Okay, because your job is to represent our game show. Our game show wants to reach millions of people, Republicans and Democrats.
For entertainment.
So we don't want to have you out there being the Stephen Colbert of game show hosts.
He's not even a comedian.
No.
A comedian would probably have more latitude.
Yeah.
Because you're expressing yourself through your comedy. It's a game show about facts.
Yeah.
And about information.
And he's saying he wants President Trump arrested for what?
And prosecuted.
Yeah, he will vote for the 2028 candidate that promises to prosecute the Trump regime. That's what he says.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
well,
bonkers. All right, just dumb,
man. He's smart, but not that smart, apparently.
Just being dumb.
Yeah.
That's the guy, by the way, isn't it, who won, like, I forget how many weeks in a row he won Jeopardy.
Yeah, he was like the Jeopardy champion of all champions.
He's very smart, but not wise.
Well, it's like Reagan said. It's not that they're ignorant. It's that they know so much that isn't so.
Yeah. All right, people, give me a score on Ole Miss Miami tonight, Ed. Go ahead. How about lunch for anybody, whoever gets closest?
42-35.
Ole Miss or
Ole
Miami?
Miss.
Okay, 42-35. Wow. Wesley, Ole Miss Miami tonight. Give me a score.
Yeah, Ole Miss 27, Miami 24.
Okay. All right, Chris, what you got?
Ole Miss wins 35-31, but Indiana takes the title.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that. I'll give you another lunch for that when we get up. So you saying Ole Miss 35, Miami what?
31.
All right, I'm going to say Ole Miss 31. Oh, Miami is so good on defense. I don't even know how Ole Miss is going to get to 31, but I got a gut feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow, go with
your gut. Got to roll that dice. I'm going to say Miami 30.
31-30.
How about that game?
That would be phenomenal.
Ole Miss 31, Miami.
I'll stay up all night to watch that one.
Ole Miss 31, Miami 30, I say. We'll see who gets it right tomorrow. Have a great rest of your afternoon, everybody. Again, thank you for listening to American Family Radio.